Hey, if you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
One of the biggest games of the college football weekend, and you can hear it right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. If you can't get to a television, we got it for you. And Coach Elko is joining us right now to talk about it. Coach, welcome to the show. We appreciate you joining us once again. Notre Dame, it doesn't get much bigger than that. Do you like it, Coach? You've had a couple of games now under your belt. You got Notre Dame, but you know a lot of coaches won't like. You got an SEC schedule, which is one of the toughest in the country. Do you still like these big games before conference starts?
Yeah, I like them. I think they're great opportunities for our program. They're great tests for our team, for our kids, and I think you learn a lot about yourself in these games. And before we head into SEC play, which we've got a bye week after this game, and before that starts. I think we're going to get a real good gauge on where we are and where we're going as a program.
What did you learn about Notre Dame in that Miami game?
I think obviously that was a challenging first game for them. It was a challenging environment, but they're a really talented team. I think they're very physical, both sides of the line of scrimmage. They got two extremely talented backs, and I think they're obviously going to come out with a chip on their shoulder, back against the wall going into this one. This is a huge game for them as well.
Coach, what do you, in your first two games, I mean, you know you got Notre Dame coming up, and then you got, in 2 weeks, you got Auburn coming up. Are you of the mind that you hold some things back in the first two that you have? Is there a conscious decision to not show certain things? A lot of coaches don't want to show, they don't want to show certain defensive looks. They don't want to show certain plays that they've got offensively. Is that something that you consciously make an effort to maintain some secrecy headed into game three and game four?
Nah, I don't know if you make a conscious effort for secrecy. Obviously, I think you go into every week trying to figure out what you have to do to be successful that week, and in some weeks that causes you to be really creative. Some weeks it causes you to be less creative. But I don't know that you're going in with this like mindset of I'm hiding this and this. I don't know that you really think about it.
What's the status for Marcel Reed? Left the game the other day, got dinged up a little bit. How's he feeling? How's he looking?
Yeah, Marcel's good. He's excited to be ready to go for Saturday.
What did you, in those first two games, Coach, you're feeling out stuff. What did you really like that you saw from your team, and what are some things that you want to see do better?
Yeah, I mean, obviously we like the development we've made in the passing game on offense. I think we've been much more explosive through two games. Obviously, bigger tests are on the horizon, but I think we started really well. Marcel has had two really good games in terms of output, production, and completion percentage, and protecting the football, and so those were all really big things. Defensively, I think we've done a much better job in our pass coverage, which was an emphasis point for us in the offseason, and I think we've been really dynamic in the return game on special teams, and that was another big thing that we wanted to see us take a step forward in. And I think everything else is just taking the necessary steps moving forward. We've got to continue to elevate our physicality. We got to continue to elevate our consistency. And I think those are the natural things that have to happen as the season goes on.
Well, you're going to be taking on a couple of running backs who are physical runners. You got to tackle well, got to wrap up. It's the fundamentals that are going to matter. Miami did a good job, pretty good job from a fundamental standpoint, keeping Jeremiah Love from having a big game. When you watch him on tape, when you look at the tackling you've had over the last couple of games, where do you stand on that, and what are your thoughts about the running game and the physicality of Notre Dame?
Yeah, I mean, these two backs are elite. I think it's probably the best combination I've gone against in my career, and I've gone against some pretty good combinations over the years. They're both extremely talented. They run hard. They run physical. We're going to have to do a really good job of eliminating their space, and when we get our opportunities to tackle them, we're going to have to make the plays.
I saw an interview with one of your players. He didn't know who Rudy was, but I don't know that young people really care about that stuff. Right.
They don't watch movies. They don't know what half the movies
they
are.
Don't know. If it's not 30 seconds, about. If it's not 30 seconds on TikTok, no, they don't know.
No, I say that to my kids all the time.
You have to watch Rudy in 600 parts, 30 seconds a piece.
No, it was almost in black and white, so they have no idea what Rudy was about. So, but what about the history, Coach? Do you? I mean, does it mean when you go there and do you want to teach your guys about that and what Notre Dame means to college football?
No, I don't think that's a part of it for our guys. Obviously, it's something I'm very well aware of. I grew up on the East Coast in a Catholic family, and so I know what Notre Dame was. I know what Notre Dame is. I know what it's meant to college football for a really long time. But I'm not sure that that is. I don't know how much the modern generation really cares about that stuff. I think for them, this is an opportunity to go on the road and play a top 10 team in a really cool environment. And I think that's more the focus, is going up there and playing football in that 3.5 hour window as good as we possibly can.
Yeah, yeah. Freeman is a defensive minded guy. Wants the trenches to be solid. Most coaches do, but. Puts an emphasis. No, there's always been an emphasis on the offensive line and technique and coaching over there. Defensively, wants them to be physical. I think the one thing that stood out watching Miami is this kid C.J. Carr, who is Lloyd Carr. Interestingly enough, his grandfather and all that was at Michigan. Boy, he was feisty. Now he made some mistakes with the football. Got a little loose with the football a couple times. It could have turned into very big negative plays. But boy, he looked like he was really kind of unfazed. It looks like he's one of those guys that you're going to get a pretty strong effort from. But there are some mistakes that are going to be made because he's a young quarterback. You're going to have to capitalize on those.
Yeah, no. Obviously, he's extremely talented, and we said this last year. There were a couple young kids that started in our game last year. If you're a young kid and you win the starting job at Notre Dame, that usually means you're special. For him to get the starting nod and beat out some upperclassmen to do it, he's an extremely talented kid. He's got elite arm talent. He's obviously got the pedigree with his family and his background. And, I'm sure his growth from year one, from game one to game two will be really big. It's a challenging thing to go out and make your first start in that environment. And so, I'm sure he now has a real good feel for what this is all about, what starting a college football game for Notre Dame is all about, and I'm sure he's really excited for this one as well.
Well, I think America's excited for this one, Coach. All eyes are going to be on NBC, a night game in South Bend against two ranked teams. That's going to be fun. So we'll let you go. We know you got a lot of work to do. We appreciate your time. Thanks so much, and best of luck going up there and winning this football game.
Get after him this week, Coach.
Yeah, appreciate you guys. Appreciate you having me on. And gig them. Go Aggies. Yeah.
All right. That's going to be – you can hear it right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 as the Aggies – or maybe it's just 97.5 – as the Aggies take on Notre Dame, 6:30 on NBC on Saturday night. But better than watching the game is listening to it right here.
Well, if you're out and about, maybe you have to go pick up something. You're not going to miss a minute of it.
Sure.
Right. Maybe you're on your way from one bar to another.
Sure, that could be the case.
Yep. That's
really John has no interest in you. If you don't drink, don't even talk to him.
Well, I don't know about. I mean, I have to talk to Dell every day.
No, I wish he wouldn't go by that. He wouldn't talk to me.
Right. I mean, if I didn't have to.
He had that big drunk hand on my neck when we were taking pictures.
Big drunk hand.
I don't have a big drunk
hand. He goes, this is my guy. Dell, just grab me on the neck.
Big, meaty, get your Coors Light smelling, or maybe Art Car. I don't know.
Whatever beer he had. He was having a good old time. Let's just say that.
Okay. What's your point?
Dell, my guy. Come on. All right, John.
You got Coors
Light.
You're having a good time. That's exactly what you might as well have just done my commercial.
Meaty hand.
Let go of me with that meaty paw of yours.
Meaty, drunken hand on my neck.
Get that paw, damn dirty hand off me, damn dirty ape.
So, that's the biggest game of the weekend, isn't it?
It's big. We got that one, Georgia-Tennessee. Surprisingly, USF-Miami is the top 25 matchup all of a sudden. Yeah, we got some big ones. And that one, I think, stand alone, I think.
I, I don't think South Florida sneaks up on anybody anymore now.
No.
But I think that
they were a big
kid,
underdog last week. I was like, what?
Well, they're
in
a big
world?
Underdog this week.
Why? What are we doing?
Yeah.
Do we just not? I don't get it.
That was one of my favorite games last week.
Who are they
Florida
playing this week again?
Miami.
I'd be real careful about the Miami's played one game, right?
Two. But only one game that matters.
Who was the other game they played?
They played Bethune last week.
How about South Florida making a case for being in the playoff?
Oh, my God. Did you see what happened last week? This voter? I know. I bet you saw this video.
Oh, yeah. The Florida one moved up two spots.
People are upset about my vote, and I just don't know. I just like to have fun with stuff.
Well, you're a voter for the AP poll. And you moved Florida up two spots after they lost at home, and you left South Florida unranked, the team that beat them. You want to keep that vote? What are you doing?
Well, she doesn't know what she's doing.
Well, why has she got a vote?
You just hand them out. Oh, what, John? Oh, you got something to say?
She's not qualified. If you don't even know that South Florida beat Florida, and you're moving Florida up, then you're not just not
she
qualified.
Work for?
I have no idea. It was terrible, though.
She did a video.
You know
what? Then it's
I'm just
fun.
Having fun with it. She said, I'm having fun with the fact that it's a big topic on social media. That's fine. Like, I would be super embarrassed. I would delete my account. I would literally delete all my accounts if I did that.
Well, you should delete your account anyway from what you posted yesterday.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know. I think the medical staff's doing great. Or the training staff. I think
no one deserves.
Fantastic.
Okay, you're just looking for views.
Any accountability.
Just looking for views.
There I am.
You, Dan Lanning would say this about you. You're looking for clicks. He's looking for wins.
That's right.
Ooh,
You're the Coach Prime Houston Media.
The Coach Prime of Houston Media.
Isn't that what Dylan Gabriel said?
No, it's not what he said.
No,
it is what he said.
It is not what he said.
Okay. Not about, he said you guys are, you guys are entertainers. But he said
that
about the media. Yeah.
Looking for clicks.
He said you are clowns.
He didn't say you guys. He said, well, we ain't about the entertainers. We're about, football players. And that's
about competition. I'm a competitor.
Direct shot. Okay.
This is what he's talking about. You right here. Drawing up controversy that he's saying doesn't exist.
Yeah.
He's talking about you.
Yeah. Who, Dan Lanning?
No, or Dylan Prime. Gabriel.
Dylan Gabriel, yeah. He was literally talking about John.
Yeah, probably.
Do you believe now?
You believe now?
Well, Believe Now is going to be in town on Friday. In fact,
you believe now?
We got tickets to give away. Our last
Let's give them away on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-7803. Okay, let's do it. We're going to give them away on the other side at 8:20 exactly. 8:20 exactly. We're going to give away two tickets to the U of H football game, which is kind of a big deal. Friday night, Colorado is in town. It's the, and by the way, it's Hispanic Heritage halftime show.
Yeah, supposedly.
It'll happen.
Oh, okay.
Songs from Selena and UH Mariachi. Pumas will take the field, special performance. It's going to be a big game. It's the first conference game. Come early, be loud, wear red. Tailgating starts at 3:30, Cougs on Parade, 5:20. Giving away a pair of tickets to caller number 3 at 8:20. Caller number 3 is going to win those tickets at 713-780-3776.
That's what's up.
That's it. That's what's up. And you know what else is up? Your roof. Your roof is up. And Brinkman Quality is here for you. Justin Brinkman is the proprietor, right? But he handed down from his dad. His grandpa worked for NASA, too. I mean, that doesn't make you smart. Dell's dad worked for NASA, so.
I don't know why I'm getting a shot here.
But
let's do the live.
I will say that, you know what? The Brinkmans have been doing this over 50 years now, and they're really great at it. And the thing about it is that you want somebody that you can trust. You want a company that is deep-rooted in the community, that is going to be here, that's going to stand behind their work. there's a reason that you stay in business, because you do have integrity, because you do what you say you're going to do, that you've seen everything, you know everything about the roofing business, and you can be trusted. And that's kind of a big deal. Somebody knocks on your door and says, let me get on your roof and fix it. Man, don't be that guy, because that guy's gone. That guy's gone. He's going to do something, he's gone. Not the Brinkmans. They're going to be here forever. BrinkmanQuality.com, BrinkmanQuality.com, Quality.com. BrinkmanQuality.com. Tell them you heard it right here.
Really excited to tell you about Greenlight Offer. I know you've heard the commercials. They're very memorable. I talked to Sean. My tenant won't pay me the rent houses. That guy. And it was really fun talking to him last week and getting a sense of everything that they do. They're going to buy any house, any condition, any situation. Let's say that and this happens a lot where a family will or a person will inherit a house where a parent dies, inherit a house. And sometimes those houses are in disrepair because the person hasn't lived in the house. They go into a home or whatever the case may be. And now it's a big hassle. You get that. You don't know what to do with the estate. And you've got to get the house ready to sell. And it's just a big hassle. What they do is they come in, they'll make you a fair offer. They'll buy it and they'll take care of everything. They do the repairs on the home that needs to be taken care of. They can get tenants out of there if that needs to be the case. They can do anything and everything for you to help you sell the home. They basically take it out of your hands with one fair offer, and then you've got cash and you're not worried about it anymore. That's what they can do. They can close in as little as 3 days. And I cannot stress for you how important it is that they take all the stress and hassle away from you when it comes to selling a home. Whether you have one now, you inherit one, you've got a difficult situation with renters, they will handle everything. My man Sean is on the front page. You hear his voice on the commercials. Go to greenlightoffer.com and you can start the process of asking questions about how they can help you, because I promise you they can help you. 100% local office. They're right here in the Galleria area. He needs to take me to lunch sometime. Call and ask for Sean directly, and he will get you taken care of. It's 832-819-5000. That's 832-819-5000. Or go online and check them out for yourself at greenlightoffer.com.
We're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
So the Big 12 suspended the crew from the Missouri-Kansas game. They let them kick off with a punt. They let Missouri kick off after they had a penalty that moved them back to their own 20-yard line to kick off.
So bad. So
they
stupid.
Let them kick off with a punt, and you have to kick it off a tee. Then they also let Missouri score to safety after they batted a ball, which is illegal to bat a ball. They batted the ball, and then they scored a safety on it, and they were like, well, you can't do that either. You guys. You got to be better.
So Missouri batted the ball forward and then recovered it in the end zone for a safety? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Illegal batting. That's a penalty.
Yep.
Legal touching, whatever they call it.
Yeah.
And that game ended up pretty close, right?
Yeah, it was 42-31 or?
Yeah, I mean, I think Mizzou put it away late with the score.
Do better.
It's not like did the punt make that big a difference, but you got to know the rules.
You should enforce the rules properly.
So when you get a safety, about this, after the safety, Kansas kicked off a tee instead of punting it, which is what most teams do after a safety is they punt the ball. But they kicked it off of a tee. Maybe the officials were confused because it went back to the 20-yard line. And they said, well, we're just going to punt it like it's a safety. And from the, like we always do from the 20, except they should have known better. They maybe should have known better.
It is their jobs.
It is kind of their job.
Yeah,
to know
it's
that.
Definitely their jobs.
Right. So, yeah.
Well, hopefully those officials, when they come back, if they do come back, don't affect a Cougar game because those are Big 12 officials. Let's not have that happen when the Cougars are out there playing.
Yeah, anybody now, that crew's lost all credibility.
Can you ask Eddie Nunez in a couple minutes about that?
I can. I will. Speaking of suspensions, you got one with the Eagles defensive tackle being suspended a game for spitting on Dak Prescott.
Yeah. Well,
he was suspended one game.
They said it was – no, I thought they said the game counts.
He was suspended the game that he sat, which was game one.
Yeah, the game that he was thrown out of counts as his suspension.
His suspension.
So maybe that's fair.
Yeah,
he didn't play a play.
So if he had played, so if it happened after the first play, gets injured, then they wouldn't have suspended him.
I don't know.
Or they would have suspended him.
Had he done it at the end of the first half, I think he'd have faced another full game suspension.
Okay.
Is my guess. Like you're not gonna. This way, they can say he gets a full game suspension. I mean, it's a paycheck that's. Well, actually, I don't know that that's a paycheck that's gone.
Yes, it was. He was suspended without pay.
So they're not going to pay him for that. Okay.
He doesn't get paid for that game.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's what a real suspension is, so you can't pay him.
Yeah.
Man, you're losing a 17th of your pay. You don't get paid the rest of the year once the season's over.
Right.
That's tough, man. That was stupid to do.
Yep. So there's that. The Florida player that spit on the South Florida guy, he apologized, said, "I'm sorry. I probably shouldn't have done that." You think you shouldn't have spit on a guy?
After contemplation, I probably shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
You know
after
what?
After thinking about it.
You know, after now further that I've review, had some time to ruminate on it, maybe I shouldn't spit on people.
After further review,
I'm glad he had some time to think about it,
right,
and figure it out.
Go, you know what? Go home and think about this. Think about what you did.
Sit in that probably crappy dorm in Gainesville, because it's Gainesville, and think about your actions.
Mm-hmm. I saw a list. Is Billy Napier top of the list of hot seats?
Yes. I think pretty much 100%.
Him and Brent Pry.
He and who?
Brent Pry from Virginia Tech.
I think Napier's on. I mean, he just had a player. He just lost a game to a double-digit favorite at home where one of his players spit on somebody.
Oh, I know Napier's in trouble, but Pry, they don't really enjoy his brand of football. He's 0-2.
So it's just they just don't like him, period.
And he just got dog-walked by Vanderbilt in the second half.
Yeah, so punished in the second half.
That team quit.
But what about the first half?
Well, they're up 20-10.
Yeah, it was cool. The first half was cool.
Yeah, and then the second half, they gave up, 34 straight points?
Yeah, but what about the first half, though?
Oh, see, people are just so quick to dismiss the first half.
Well, I think they enjoyed the first half. The problem was you only outscored Vanderbilt by 10 in the first half, and they outscored you by 34 in the second half.
And the bad news is Keith won't stop chirping about it.
Well, doesn't Vanderbilt have South Carolina this weekend?
Yeah.
So we'll see if Vanderbilt's the real, as Keith would say.
Well, an expert that I spoke with, my son, who's in the SEC and thinks he knows everything about SEC football, as every person who watches SEC football thinks, he said, get ready. I told him about Keith. He goes, get ready. He's going to win again because everyone's figured out South Carolina.
Oh,
so apparently South Carolina's been figured out. He said Sellers needed until the fourth quarter to throw for over 100 yards.
They have not looked good offensively.
They have not looked good. That is true.
Now, he might be onto something, actually.
Yeah. He's only thrown for 300-some yards in the two games. Yeah, it's not great. It's not great right now. But I got to root against Vanderbilt every day now because of Keith. Every game.
Which is a bad spot to be in. I don't want to root against the Pavias.
I know.
They're fun.
The fighting Pavias are a lot of fun.
Legitimately fighting.
Right. Right. All right. Eddie Nunez, athletic director from the University of Houston, is going to join us next right here. Who did we got a winner for the UH football tickets?
We did. We settled that, yeah.
Good, 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 good. Well, I want to talk about the game right now. I want to talk about you getting on out there Friday night. Okay, you know, maybe you got a kid playing high school football. I get it. Okay, that's a reason. But otherwise, there's no reason not to go see Coach Prime, not to see this U of H football team. I know Dana caught a lot of grief because, you know, they beat teams, but they didn't look great doing it. Hey, this team looks great doing it. This team really is taking care of business and, you know, and winning football games big. You know, what are they giving up, 9 points this year? Good luck, Colorado, in your offense with your new quarterback. Well, you got to be there to see it. And it's going to be fun. It's going to be a beautiful night. It's going to be for you to get on out there and enjoy U of H football. You know, Coach Fritz is doing a really, really nice job. He really is. So get on out there. Enjoy TDECU Stadium. It's Hispanic Heritage Night. You got a halftime show with the Spirit of Houston from Songs from Selena and UH Mariachi Pumas. UHCougars.com/tickets or call 713-GO-COUGS. Get on out there, support this team, and go see Coach. We got to make sure Coach Prime doesn't come in here and get a win. We don't need to hear that. Go to UHCougars.com/tickets or call 713-GO-COUGS.
Hey, guys, I want to tell you that breakfast today is going to be Taqueria Serrano's. I've already figured it out for you. And if you can't make it there, then you're going for lunch. If you can't make it there, then you're going for dinner. Or you can go to Aranda Sports Bar, go Google that and find Aranda Sports Bar and go watch the game tonight and have some great food. They got a great bar menu at Aranda Sports Bar that you can take advantage of. A lot of different types of margaritas, and it's just a lot of fun. It's a great space. The space is awesome. It's connected to the restaurant, but it's its own little living entity, and it's really, really cool. If you haven't been to Aranda Sports Bar, one to check out. But when you go to Taqueria Serrano's, you're getting authentic Mexican food. You're getting a wide variety of different types of proteins. You want the chicken or beef fajitas, you can get that. You can get pork. You can get any number of delicious, authentic Mexican entrees. And if you're just there and you just want some appetizers and to have a beer or two and just hang out, that's something they love as well. Come in there during the happy hour and enjoy yourself. But Taqueria Serrano's is going to fill you up without emptying your wallet. Their prices are very reasonable. It's out of control with a lot of Mexican food around Houston, not with Taqueria Serrano's. Check them out for yourself. Taqueria Serrano's, look online, find a location nearest you, stop in and enjoy Taqueria Serrano's.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right. Welcome back. We're trying to get where you're efforting. Eddie Nunez, University of Houston Athletic Director. Let's see if you can get in here. Want to talk about that game. Want to talk about what's going on with Cougs football, basketball. He's taking over. It's a pretty good time, actually. You know, with between the Fertitta Center and the new football facility and, you know, the way the Cougs basketball teams grabbed the spotlight and now the start for this team and being in the Big 12, I mean, a lot of work was done for these guys coming in here. Nothing against, but, man, it's come a long way in about, University of Houston's come a long way in the last 10 years. From the conferences that they were playing in to the facilities that they have now?
Yep.
I mean, how TDECU, how old is it? 7, 8 years?
It is, wow, I think you're right. I think 7 years, wow, is it? No, it's older than that. It's older than that. It's like 9 years old because I was in TDECU when Paxton Lynch came out. I watched Memphis at Houston. I was scouting up in the booth, and that was in 2016, I think.
Oh, all right. Well, my bad. They had asked for 8:30 on Thursday. 8:30 on Thursday, not Wednesday. So maybe that's why we're not getting them.
Possibly. Yeah. And we got an open slot there, right?
I think we do.
Yeah.
I think we do.
Yeah, we'll have the AD for. He's got a fancier name than that, but we just call him the AD.
It's open 11 years now, John.
It's 11 years now?
August 29th of 2014 is when it opened.
Yeah.
Now, there have been some improvements made
too,
to it
come
over the
on
years.
Thursday. I didn't say Wednesday. I said Thursday. I told you guys too. Eddie wants to come on Thursday
okay.
at 8:30.
Thought it was today.
We'll
have him on tomorrow.
It's tomorrow. That's good. All right, we'll talk to him tomorrow. Tomorrow's good. No good. All good. We'll talk to
Let's
him
get back to the Houston Astros and the injuries. When do we hear about Luis Garcia?
So that's a big blow, dude.
Well, wait. Do we know it's a blow? It's elbow discomfort, and this is a guy who had Tommy John surgery and was out for basically two.
Elbow
years.
Discomfort is my. It might as well just. I mean.
Done. I mean, does the Tommy John surgery just not work anymore? I'm asking a very serious question.
No, I think guys are coming back.
You know, with ACLs, you come back. Is Tommy John just doesn't matter anymore? I mean, Luis Garcia, it's not like he's thrown a lot. He waited for 2 years after. Is this just something where you rip up your UCL and you're just cooked now? You're done? You get the surgery if you want. It's a waste of money.
I don't think so. I think a lot of guys come back from it. I mean, just because Luis Garcia didn't, but there's a lot of instances.
Well, I mean, his career might as well be done.
Well, I don't know about that.
Well, if he's is he going to have another one?
Guys have had two. Guys have had two.
Well, that would mean he's going to miss, what, four consecutive seasons of pitching? Yeah. How old is he going to be, 36?
No.
He's 28 right now.
Yeah.
He's 28
which
right
means
now.
Which means another 2 years, he'll be 30 when he comes back. If he has it.
We'll just hope for the best. We'll just hope that this elbow injury is not that serious.
Okay. I know. Listen, you're just looking for views. You're just looking for clicks. That's all. What's the rotation, though?
Something just opened up for...
Yeah.
Wait, what's up with Aaron Geddy again?
He's down.
He's down.
I don't know what it'll be.
He's
got inflammation as well.
He had inflammation as well.
Yes.
Yeah. Forget about
it. Yeah. So, yeah, he's done. Okay. So two of the guys we were depending on are gone. Wait till Aaron Geddy gets back. Wait till Luis Garcia gets back. Then you're all going to pay a serious price.
They were.
So they're both gone.
Garcia looks
so we're left with Christian Javier, who. No telling.
Well, in order, it's Hunter Brown, Framber Valdez.
If he wants to keep pitching.
He was tweeting in a very, let's say, cryptic manner. He was very Deshaun Watson 2021. Like, he put out a tweet yesterday. The Chronicle picked it up. It was something along the lines of not continuing to be in a bad situation, even when sometimes it's good.
Okay, here's the thing.
What now?
You heard me.
He's basically saying it's good here, but it's a bad situation. It looks good, but it's a bad situation. Here's the thing. I've been Fromber's number one proponent. He's pitched well. I think he hasn't gotten all the credit he deserves. But if he's going to be like this, if this is the new Fromber that we deal with, and that, more importantly, the Astros have to deal with, then he's going to go anyway because he's going to get a paycheck from somebody else that Jim Crane's not going to match. Then beat it.
So wait, though.
He's still pitching the rest
of the year. Hold on. Now, a lot of guys get disgruntled with contract deals, right? I mean, Cam Hayward. Everybody that's in it. Trey Hendrickson. Micah Parsons. It's guy after guy after guy after. Now, Micah Parsons might have gone too far in the whole
thing. You mean in the offseason or in the middle of the year?
But Fromber's not going to demand that kind of money.
He's in the middle of the year, John, and he's pulling this.
Yeah.
Deshaun Watson's cryptic tweets were also in the offseason. All these that you're mentioning are offseason.
Yeah.
When the game kicks off, it's on. With Fromber, that's not the case now.
Regardless, he's in the middle of a contract then. So,
well, what does that have to do with how he's behaving?
Well, I mean, it's not like he's not trying. He just has sucked lately, that's all. I mean, listen.
His attitude's poor.
His attitude sucks. And because a lot of guys get attitudes because of about the money thing.
Yeah, okay? But what does that? He's not getting a paycheck from the Astros. He's not getting another contract from the Astros. So what difference does it make? He's just going to act like this the rest of the year.
No, right. Well, but again, he's only hurting himself.
Okay.
Because
he's hurting us.
Yeah, and he's hurting. Yeah, he's hurting
my chances to win a World Series.
And he's hurting himself too. I mean, the money when you see the attitude, when you see the results on the field, I mean, he's cost himself some money this last couple of weeks.
I don't care about his money. I just care about how he pitches.
Right. Well, you know, he cares about his money.
Well, so good.
What he's going to have to do is man up, you know, stop with the petulant child routine.
And bad pitches.
And pitch. So, okay, again.
Okay.
Hunter Brown's one, Fromber's two.
It's back to Jason Alexander, three.
I guess it is. I guess.
No, Christian Javier, three. Jason Alexander, four.
And did you see Blue Ball last night?
Hey, it was great.
It was great.
He came in a pitch great.
Yeah.
When he's been put in that spot, he's been fantastic. Blue Ball's actually pitched really well other than one game. He wasn't good.
And he's a starter.
Yeah, but he hasn't been in that role for the Astros.
No. But he's been in the minors his whole career.
He's like a three-inning opener for the Astros, maybe.
No. He was a starter in the minors for the last 4 years.
Yeah.
So, he's a starter. Just because he hasn't been one here doesn't mean he's not a starter.
Well, you're asking him to. I guess what you're saying is maybe a pitcher who hasn't started.
Well, for the majority, Lance, of his season, he's been a starter.
But a guy hasn't started the entire year is now in your rotation.
No. He started, Lance, you're wrong. He started every game the entire year until he got here.
For the Astros?
No, for it. For the season, he's only been up for how long?
I don't care about that. I see a lot of good players in the minor leagues that suck when they get up here.
Well,
who cares?
Lance, he's been a starter for the entire year.
I get it, but not for the Astros. Not on the big league levels.
So what? At some point, you got
to
start at the big league level.
That's great. What I'm saying is, he has no experience starting on the Astros level.
And until you start at the big league level, you don't have any experience.
I get all that. Do you see what we're talking about? We're arguing about a guy who has not started a single game, and he's in your rotation headed
into
the playoffs.
He started every game this season.
John, he hasn't played. Okay, let me say this again. He hasn't started a single game for a major league team this year headed into a playoff run, hopefully a playoff run. You don't see the issue in that?
Well, what option do you have?
You don't have any options. Everyone's hurt.
That's what I'm saying. He's your best option.
We had nine starters about 2 weeks ago.
Who's a better option, McCullers or him right now?
Him.
Yeah.
I don't know. What Lance McCullers isn't an option out of the bullpen right now. Wait until Lance gets back and Christian gets back and Eric Gaddy gets back and Garcia gets back. I was so lippy. Yeah. I'm embarrassed for myself being excited about these pitchers.
Well, Colton Gorton's back, too, so maybe he's going to start.
Great.
Yeah, so there's that.
Man, I swear to you, I just don't know how this is happening. All of these injuries. It's like, I guess part of it's spin rate. I just don't think the whole thing can be spin rate. I notice that people have now decided it's officially spin rate. It just, there's no way it can just be one thing. If that's the case, then Major League Baseball is literally going to have to make a tough decision to say we got to get away from this. I know it's the siren song. You follow spin rate into success, and then Luis Garcia's career, you know, hangs in the balance potentially. Is it all because of spin rate? I mean, Lance McCullers, it's been a disaster for him because of injury. Christian Javier, I don't know if he'll ever get back to who he was. I don't know if he'll ever get back to who he was, very briefly.
Well,
is spin rate literally just going to end careers? Because if so, teams are going to have to make a decision to say, look, it's tempting to just lean into spin rate 100%, but if this is causing this much damage to arms across an entire organization like we see with the Astros, and other organizations are having these issues too, if they determine that's what this is, John, the torque on the arm, then you're going to have to get away from it or literally double up your entire pitching staff. You're going to have so many pitchers available to just deal with when you lose a pitcher for a year and a half to 2 years.
Listen, I don't know if heads will roll because I haven't seen Jim Crane do anything about it yet.
Right.
So I'm not sure that your clickbait really is working.
Stop. John's trying to piss me off.
If I'm Jim Crane, I am pissed. I'm pissed. All this money wasted on all of these guys because they can't get on the field. They can't stay on the field. Right. Not only get on the field, but stay on the field.
Stay on the field, right.
Yep. I mean, does he go with a different option medically? I don't know. Aren't they with Houston Methodist?
But my problem isn't with the people. They have great orthopedic surgeons over there. Houston Methodist is loaded with phenomenal orthopedic surgeons. I looked at the list of doctors they have.
Who's it on?
I think it's training staff. Honestly, I think it's from what I, you know, it's not really possible for us to know. But how are you not ordering? How are you not saying, look, before Yordan gets back in this batter's box, send him to this doctor and let him check out, you know, an X-ray, an MRI. Like, that's just fundamentally was terrible. That was just terrible to have him with a fracture in his hand and you got him in a batter's box and it ends up costing you. How many more weeks did it cost you? Six. And by the way, another three hits for him. Can you imagine if his hand, which was at 60% healed, had healed the way it was supposed to? He would have been back a month earlier, minimum.
Oh, my God.
And he's killing the ball right now.
I mean, he is so good.
He's hitting up to, like, I think he's 286 now.
He's the best hitter in baseball since he's been back. Best hitter. It's not even arguable. Yeah. He is so good. And all he has to do is flick his wrist and hit a ball to left field. And he's got to hit every single time.
Right.
Every time. He's so good. Gosh. I mean, you want to talk about a difference maker. I can't help but think of Will Kunkel every time he gets a hit.
What?
Yeah. That he'd rather have Jake Myers.
Oh, you mean the guy who came back and is just going full Jake?
No, Jake did hit some to the warning track.
Yeah.
He did make a nice sliding catch. All right.
Jake's still here.
I'm sorry, Will, but that was a take that you can never get back.
Why are you going after Will Kunkel?
I'm not going after. I'm just saying that's something you can never get back.
You can add a little context to what he said before we go to break. He said he would rather have the Jake Myers that left than the Yordan that left.
Well, but only because he didn't know if Yordan was going to be Yordan.
Yes.
But I'm going to take that.
Is useless if he can't hit. At least Jake could be a defensive stalwart even if the bat goes quiet.
Correct. However,
the pathetic Yordan Alvarez.
Give me the chance
the
to
have Yordan.
The failing
Yordan Alvarez.
No. Yeah. All right. We got a break. Let's, Lance, why don't you talk right now? Why don't you talk a little Zadik?
Zadik Jewelers, go to Zadik.com. Look at all the gifts. I talked about the luxury watches yesterday, and man, it's incredible. It's at the Yachtmaster is now available. If you are a big fan of the Rolex and you want to get involved with another Rolex, or maybe you want to get your first Rolex, or maybe you want to trade in a Breitling you have for a Rolex, or whatever the case may be, they buy, they sell, and trade luxury watches. You can request an appointment online, and that's great for people who want to spend a lot of time on engagement rings. You want to go through the cut and clarity and color of the diamonds. You want to go through the different settings. You want to set up that perfect engagement with them. They've got an entire staff dedicated to the bridal experience. But I can tell you this, what stands out to me is not just the bridal, not just the watches, the fine jewelry they have for necklaces, rings, earrings, bracelets. They have the top designers in the world. They're a boutique location for many of the top designers, so they get very unique pieces available that you won't find anywhere else. And they can take old family heirlooms, melt down the metal, keep the precious stone, and redesign it into something brand new when you want to pass down that piece of jewelry from generation to generation. They pretty much do anything you can imagine, including fixing every watch that you can imagine from across the spectrum of watchmakers. They're certified to do just that. It's 28,000 square feet of amazing selection of jewelry at Zadik Jewelers, 1801 Post Oak Boulevard. It's ZADOK.com.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back. We got some callers. They want to get in on this blue ball stuff. Okay, see which way you want to go. I mean, I think blue ball over McCullers is, and Colton Gordon has been a starter, so maybe he goes that way.
He's basically going to be stuck with what we were cheering for most of the year.
Blue ball has the highest upside.
I think so.
You know, when Hunter Brown came in September, you know, we put him in some big situations, and he made the postseason roster. That's the kind of thing that's kind of potential blue ball has right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's get Eddie in here. He wants to talk about blue ball. What do you say, Eddie?
Good morning, fellas. Boy, it brings me a lot of joy about this debate that y'all two were having about AJ blue ball. But I don't appreciate y'all not putting some respect on my name, because I did call last week and I did mention about AJ blue ball being a gem, a hidden gem. And I've seen this for over about 3 weeks. He had one bad outing. But after that, man, he's been solid gold. And so, yeah, I saw this coming. He has that it factor. He's him, man, for real. Y'all just y'all got to wake up to it, Lance. Real talk, brother, you a hater, bro. You're a hater. Stick to football. But and as far as the Texans,
What am I a hater about? What am I a hater about?
You're naive about blue balls. Like his. How good he is.
Dude,
like,
I'm the first one to talk about blue ball. Play. Enough. I was talking about blue. Remember when I said blue balls? Ooh. I was talking about blue ball, how good he was the first time he came in when he had to come in a relief stint, and he looked amazing. Then his next one, he failed. I was talking about blue ball. No, put your hater stuff on someone else. It ain't me.
Nelson,
it ain't me. Blue ball? Anti-blue ball?
Yeah, you've been.
How am I being a hater
since he got?
Yeah, he has, right, Johnny? He's been hating. Johnny, he's been hating. He knows what he's talking
about. I'm not listening to any of
y'all. He's got my back.
Okay.
Whoa.
What'd he do?
I mean, my mic was up as he was walking by the door, and he said. He said stupid effers. So I don't know if that got on there. I had to hit the dump button. He's had a rough one today.
He does not want to hear it. Something happened.
Stick to football. Stick to football.
Stick to football.
That's
you're a hater.
That's disrespectful.
He's a blue ball hater.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow. It's been a rough one for the man.
He started this morning. If for those of you that weren't here, Lance started the morning on a rant that was almost Pujols-esque. Almost blood in the driveway.
A hater, real hater stuff.
Yeah. Hater. You're Josh Hader. Mm. That's your new name. Lance Hader. Yep. Josh's brother.
Whew.
Oh, God, that's funny.
Been a wild one.
Lance.
Yeah, I haven't said a good thing about blue ball.
No, you haven't said
dude,
anything good.
Dude, quit copying me, Eddie.
Hater.
Stop copying all my takes.
Hater.
I say something good about blue ball, and here you are drag-assing, riding on my coattails about blue ball talk. There you go. Coattailing me. Get off my coattails on that blue ball love. I said it first. You're just a bona fide super mega hater. Mm-hmm. What'd he say anyway? What'd he say? Something about football?
He did tell you to stick to football.
Oh, my God. Eddie's the dumbest caller we've ever had today.
Oh, today. Okay.
Today. I just cannot deal with all this stuff. This is the worst day I've ever had.
What do you think about?
I'm legitimately pissed off today.
Yeah, clearly.
Legitimately, no, this is not a joke. And then we got Eddie, and then that's what I needed. Eddie throwing more gas on the fire.
Yeah.
And if any of you try this crap, or you think you're just going to be funny and like, you're brisket, I just won't do the show anymore.
This
I just won't do the show.
Brisket day.
If you try to do this, if you try to just make me madder, I just won't do the show.
Don't agitate Lance today.
Do not. Not today.
Let's just talk ball, whatever it is.
I don't know why I'm this mad. Like, it's. I don't even know why. This whole season has been like this, but I actually thought we were going to have something nice at the end.
No.
Well. And we don't. McCullers is terrible. I don't even think Christian Javier is any good. I'll say it. I don't know how. It's a miracle he had a no-hitter through six innings. I think his stuff has been – I think his breaking pitch has been lollipopping in there. It's backdoor. It's just hanging nonstop. I don't trust Christian Javier one single bit. Luis Garcia is obviously done. Lance McCullers has been terrible since he's gotten back. Who else? Oh, Eric Geddy, done, elbow. So none of that stuff we thought we were getting back. None of it. And they're not even winning since they traded for Carlos.
Do you think a discussion about college football with an accomplished writer would calm you down?
Yes.
No.
Well, Bill Connolly.
Honestly,
well, it's
no.
going to piss him off. NIL is going to piss him off.
Bill Connolly would join us. Well, that's not really Bill Connolly's realm. He'll join us next. Maybe Lance can compose himself during the break. and we can talk some ball.
We'll be talking about the future of college football.
Something that gets me pissed off.
He's got a new book to talk about.
The future of college football.
Yep. Well, it's a book, and maybe you should read his book.
It's probably going to make me mad.
Probably. But first, we're going to talk about Billy. Okay, does Billy Brown make you mad?
No. But I get mad at stuff where I have to call Billy because something's happening.
Because your kids are flushing a dude wipes down the toilet.
What are you doing? It was a Clorox wipe that says do not flush down toilets.
It says do not flush on
do not flush.
Yeah. And, well, they didn't know by what flush what. It didn't say do not flush down the toilet. So they didn't know. So listen, Billy came and helped you. Billy has come and helped me. Billy helps all our listeners when you call them. 281-488-6238. You're in your car. You're stopped. Put this number in your phone. Not while you're driving. When you're stopped, 281-488-6238, because everybody in this city needs to have that number. Because when something happens, you have to have Billy come to the rescue. They're open 365 days a year for, listen, emergencies. They're going to get there right away. If you've got a problem that can wait a little bit, then you might have to wait a little bit because they're swamped. Because there's so many people that have so many toilet problems, okay?
So many toilet problems.
It's ridiculous. So if you've got a problem whatsoever with your plumbing, there's one guy to call, and that's Billy over at Aqueduct Plumbing Company, 281-488-6238 or aqueductplumbingcompany.com.
Houston's only FM sports stations, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.